We'll kick this turkey in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning November 22nd, 2007, this is the Rain Report, available as a free weekly download and podcast from therainreport.com. I'm Elaine Alper, KA9SEQ's mother. If your amateur radio signal is interfering with your neighbors, do you, number one, increase your power to aggravate them further? Number two, ignore the problem and hope it and your neighbors go away? Number three, play technical geek and rewire your neighbors' homes? Or number four, none of the above? Just ask Paula Yushin, K9IR. Paula is a volunteer counsel for the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League.
How many of you have WAS? Show of hands, right? I'll bet a lot more of you have it than you realize. Worked off stereos, right? And WABM, not a missile site, worked all baby monitors. And WAN, not that setup that you have for contesting, much as we wish it was. This is kind of like the DXer's equivalent of, you know, mixed honor roll. Worked all neighbors. Any mode, any mechanism at all, you know, you've gotten into it all with everything from DC to light. So we don't want to have these issues. You do have situations where you get that knock on the door, and a lot of times you end up getting blamed for things that you have nothing to do with at all. You know the old trick about you set up your tower and then you hook up nothing for the next week or so and just wait for the calls and the comments to come in as everybody imagines that, you know, the Martians have landed as a result and everything else, and you can point to the fact that the cables are hooked to nothing at all. So what's our agenda for this for today? Want to talk to you a little bit about the good news. Want to talk to you about what to do and a few things not to do. The good news is there are no new cases, no other developments that are going to hurt us, and that's good news. Federal preemption. We've talked about PRB1 and when it does apply and when you're in a deep hole, such as with CCNRs, where it's not going to help you. And you may wonder why we never hear about PRB1 in connection with radio frequency interference and radio transmissions and such. And that's primarily because of a concept known as federal preemption. This is a section of the Communications Act of 1934. And actually, that was the second Federal Radio Act. I think the first one was a Federal Radio Act from back in 1912. What happened was the federal government recognized pretty early on that with people getting on the air and all manner of transmissions back over, you know, almost 100 years ago at this point, that there was going to be the potential for tremendous interference and tremendous issues. And so eventually what the federal government did was explicitly say, we are going to regulate this whole arena because the nature of radio waves is such that they will not appreciate state borders or local borders or even international borders. It's just out there. And so we're going to regulate this. As a result, the federal government has a legal term that's used, and you can drop this at your next cocktail party, is federal preemption of that area. The federal government regulates this. So that's fairly good news for most of us as well. And then developments that have happened more recently over the years have come from the cellular phone companies, the ones that are offering the service, because they want to put up their cell towers and such. A lot of times we can benefit, or as some people like to say, they block and tackle for us to render some benefits. There's responsibilities that we have as amateur radio operators to avoid incidents of interference. And one of the primary ones is we need to operate consistent with Part 97. So we are responsible if there is interference caused as a result of our operations violating an FCC rule. So you want to think about your own station, your own setup. Are you using good cable with good connectors? Are you using authorized equipment? Do you have a good ground? All the basic things that if somebody were to come and inspect the station, you would feel very comfortable being able to show that you're absolutely 100% where you should be. And then there's the question of how your own equipment is outside of amateur radio in the house. I mean, if you can key down with your alpha and nothing happens within your house, the fact that something happens in somebody else's house is probably a pretty good indication that there is some issue that is with their equipment in their location, something else happening there. And the ability to be able to show that you can do that same thing in much closer proximity, well, usually much closer proximity, unless you put that tower way back next to the neighbor, but in closer proximity than your neighbor has to that same transmission, you're going to be in good shape. So we do have certain responsibilities responsibilities that we need to honor. Some of the things that you can do when you're handling complaints, and this is a theme, I think, actually, that you've heard raised in different contexts this afternoon already. Remember the comments that Fred gave you about dealing kindly with your building inspector, and Brennan got into some of the same comments in dealing with folks. This is just human nature 101. Cooperate, listen to people. A lot of times they just want to get it out there. They want to get the bitch out there. Let them get that information out to you. Be diplomatic. One of the things you don't want to see these situations escalate into is from a neighborly discussion about an issue that they want to have addressed, and you want to help them address that, and to see it escalate into something that becomes what the police euphemistically call a domestic dispute. You really don't want to have the sirens going and the cops pulling up and everything else. And these things, we talked about the heat and the passion of talking about these things all too often can escalate if you let it. The neighbor comes over steamed up, calm approach, calm that person down, usually through a lot of listening.
You're listening to a 2007 Dayton Hamvention presentation by ARRL Volunteer Counsel Paula Yushin, K9IR. We'll conclude her talk she entitled RFI in the Hood in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
First, state what our responsibilities are. Again, this is just a smart move to take. Hey, I understand what you're talking about. I have certain obligations that I have to meet in order to be able to use this equipment, starting with, I have to have a license in order to be able to use this, and then to go on from there. Then you can talk with them about their responsibilities. I mean, it's always entertaining to me the fact that somebody will come over and they will, as Jim pointed out, they'll complain about something and you're like, no, we're there. I've had that happen to me a couple of times. I came home one day from work and I have a voicemail on the phone. I play back the voicemail and it's the neighbor of this guy that used to live next door to me. Mercifully does not live next door to me now. The wife was great. The guy had no people skills, as they say. So the wife left a nice message saying that, could I check or maybe not be transmitting because they were trying to play a CD on a CD player and it was skipping and such. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fun call. So I get on the phone and I'm hoping, of course, to get the wife, but of course the guy answers. So I'm like, okay. So I tell him, well, I got your message and I just wanted to let you know, I just got home and got the message. So at the time that this was happening, I was not here. I'm good, but I'm not that good. And I don't think that's the source of your problem. And it ends up, I find out that he had bought this CD player like at least a year before and had just decided to unpack it and play it. So of course I'm thinking to myself, well, he's got a bad CD player or a bad CD that's mistracking in some fashion. But it's interesting how people will react sometime. I think that his next statement was something like, oh, well, you've got to help me resolve this. Like, I'm not the source of the problem, but because I could be the source of that problem either now or in the future or with some other device, I have some obligation to help him at this point. So you can run into some crazy things, but you try to be cooperative and help out as much as possible. There are some other things that unofficially I have only found by trial and error actually work, and they're not really part of the official syllabus, but there is the potential to have a certain element of craziness to work in your favor. When we first moved into where we are now, I was a good deal younger than I am now, and I actually looked a good deal younger than I am now. And there is something about looking young, especially when you're talking with older folks, because they don't really believe what you have to say. Well, it's 20-some years later, and suddenly I've noticed the roles have reversed. And I'm now the crazy old lady with a few gray hairs who does crazy things like goes out in late November. This happened to be just before the big DX contest that's on Thanksgiving weekend. They didn't know that. All they knew was that we had gotten an early snow, and I knew that I hadn't finished installing everything for my vertical antenna for 80 meters. So there I am with a shovel, shoveling snow off my grass so I can put in the rest of my radials. I'm thinking as I do this that people have got to be looking outside their windows going, what is going on? But I think there are some benefits with that. You know, they figured the crazy woman with the antennas, every so often the group of strange men come over and they do something there. I don't know if her husband even knows about it. So there are some benefits to the craziness factor, but it's not part of the official syllabus. Don't go techie when people come over. I made this mistake once. It was kind of a cool incident, though. It was actually in the middle of the last cycle. A neighbor called up in the middle of the afternoon, and he said, "Were you just on the radio? Because we were listening to," this is the same guy, by the way, "we were just watching a DVD, and we switched back everything to the TV, and we can't see anything, or it's like going crazy." So I'm like, I'm very curious about this. So I turn on the TV right there by the phone, and I look, and it was really neat. I was watching Channel 2, and in the course of about 30 seconds, it would cycle from clear to complete snow to clear. I mean, clearly we'd had like some mega solar flare, and I was appreciative that he had called me so I could appreciate this, because I otherwise would have missed this. But I made the mistake of sharing that observation with him. "Oh, it looks like we had a solar flare." I may as well have said, "Oh, it looks like my friends from Neptune have landed." Unless you can point to an article in the local paper that talks about solar flares, you know, something that he or she would be normally consuming in a day-to-day basis, something that they would normally be reading, you can run into issues by talking about that, because they figure you're just throwing mumbo jumbo, you're just trying to throw up a smoke screen, or worse, they feel insulted because they really don't understand what you're talking about and they're uncomfortable, but they don't want to admit that. So try not to go techie with folks. Do not go in and rewire your neighbor's house, as badly as it may need it. When this fellow that lived next door to us finally moved, I got an interesting story from the folks that moved in after him. They came in, they said, "God, what was that guy like? We walked in and we had to redo this. He had done this, and the phones, oh my God, the phone wiring." And all I could do was think to myself of all the times he had called to tell me about me getting into his phone. And I was like, well, no wonder. So he desperately needed some kind of proper wiring and rewiring, but that shouldn't happen. What you can do is you can lend them like a filter. Don't do it like I did, though. I actually lent this guy a filter. It was, I think, brand new, in fact, to use on his phone. 2 days later, it's in the mailbox with a little note returning it. And I look at the filter, and it's got all these hack marks all over it. And it didn't work anymore. So I call him up, and I say, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, it just didn't work." And I said, "Well, it looks like your dog got hold of it like a chew toy." And of course, he denied it and this and that. But a perfectly fine working filter didn't work. So there was some risk on that. You can do that, though. But don't get in and start rewiring anything, because if something does go wrong with their equipment after you do something like that, you're in a bigger world of hurt than you were originally. So don't go there. Your new estate, and we've had some discussion about this, so I am strictly going to focus my comments from the RFI perspective. But you've got your contract to buy the property, you do the title search, you find those private deed restrictions, those CC&Rs that we've talked about before. I believe in putting things, if I can, I like to have people explain things to me like I'm a 2-year-old, because then I understand them. So I just use the skull and crossbones. You don't want to go there. Yes, the federal law has preempted this area for interference, but you know what? You can contract that away. And you can contract that away by buying a home that has those restrictions in place. And if those restrictions restrict you in a way where, either because of interference or your transmissions or such, you're doomed. And there is nothing about federal preemption that will help you there. So the good news is no news. Understand what you have to do, what your responsibility should be in dealing diplomatically with your neighbors. Keep in mind what you shouldn't do, as tempted as you are. I said bozo, but truly, you should not go there. And you should have a lot of fun operating your radios.
Paula Yushin, K9IR, a Chicago suburbanite and volunteer counsel for the American Radio Relay League, ARRL. Paula gave this talk during the Amateur Radio and the Law Forum at the 2007 Dayton Hamvention in suburban Dayton, Ohio. The Wren Report is copyright 1990-2007, Wren. All rights are reserved. For Hap Holly, KC9RP, Rain's founder producer, I'm Elaine Alper, KA9SEQ's mother, wishing you very 73s from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com. Come on!